Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning. So on this day, in the Orthodox Church, we give it many different names. We call it Cheese Fair Sunday because it's the last day that we eat cheese and dairy products. We call it Forgiveness Sunday because later this evening, we'll come back for Vespers and the Rite of Forgiveness. It's also called the Sunday commemorating the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. So we remember from the book of Genesis two things. On the one hand, the joy of being in paradise with God, that Adam and Eve had, talking with him, participating with him, and caring for his creation. This pure peace and joy that comes from being present with God. But then, having eaten of the tree that God commanded them to abstain from, they were set outside of paradise, not as a punishment, but as a mercy, because God and sin are not compatible. It was an opportunity for repentance for humanity. We sing in the Paschal Troparion, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee from before his face. As wax melts before the fire, God is a fire, and we sinners are like wax that melts in his presence if we have not repented and replaced that malleable substance with something more durable." And it's for this reason they were clothed in garments of skin, because they had lost that light, that divine light of God, which had clothed them previously. And so God had compassion on them and clothed them. We have these beautiful hymns in the church that speak of Adam wailing, "Woe is me." Not because of where he is, but because of where he isn't anymore. He laments that precious thing that he had lost and how far he had fallen. He laments not no longer being close and present with God in paradise. And so the hymn offers this comforting response from Christ. "Therefore the Savior cried out to him, saying, I desire not the loss of my creation, but that it be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For he that cometh to me, I shall not cast out." When I read the epistle in the gospel reading, I couldn't help but imagining St. Paul being like a coach or a mentor, sitting us down before we begin Lent and say, "Okay, let's have an honest discussion. Let's have a little heart to heart. Here's how we're going to do it." And so he tells us these things. It's time to get our act together, to act according to our faith, to get it in gear rather than revving the engine in neutral, making a lot of noise and going nowhere. Stand up. He tells us to divest ourselves of fleshly desires and to rather put on Christ. This is the opposite progression of Adam and Eve. They took on the fleshly desires and put off Christ. We're being called to do the reverse. That each of us is accountable only for ourselves, to keep our mind on Christ rather than paying attention to what the person next to us is doing. He tells us, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And we learn that if anyone has wronged me, I must forgive them. Because I have sinned against God over and over and over again. And Christ says it plainly. If you forgive others, God will forgive you your sins. And if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. He could not be more clear that my salvation is dependent on you and your salvation is dependent on me. We're in this together. We're encouraged regarding fasting not to make it apparent. Look at me, I'm fasting. We're told not to look dismal or to proclaim our self-righteousness on social media. Every year. Be quiet about your fasting, and God will reward you. And Christ tells us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And when we do this, there our heart is also. There is our life. You know, as an aside, faith needs to be a topic of discussion at home. It must be. If the only time spent talking or reading about God is the hour and a half that you're here for liturgy on Sunday, it's not enough. Think about the many hours that our kids spend being inundated, and myself for that matter, being inundated with all these other influences. Other people, other teachings, entertainment, idle chatter. Faith needs to be a topic of discussion at home. If we have failed to instill this desire for God in ourselves, and we have failed to model a desire our God for our youth. Now, this last verse of the gospel, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For some reason, in my early years, this one really stuck with me. And it's partly because my parents, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles exposed me to the scripture. And they not only talked about God, but they showed me what it was to value him through the way that they lived. He was their treasure. So again, I'll repeat for you this very important verse. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we treasure material things, that is our life. If we treasure God, he is our life. So have God and his kingdom as your treasure. And when I was learning to throw a baseball, my coach repeated over and over again, look where you want the ball to go. Even more so, point your other arm where you want the ball to go, right? And it'll go there. And when learning how to ride a motorcycle, you're told over and over again, if you look at the ground, that's where you're going to end up. And if you look where you want to go, that's where you're going to end up. This is truth. This is God's truth manifested in our daily lives. So why do we get angry? Why do we judge? Why do we get frustrated when things don't work out the way we intended? It's because our primary concern has been placed here and now. If we keep our mind with Christ and his kingdom, on the other hand, we have little time to waste on disputes, on self-righteousness. And we come to our line, our desire with God's desire for us, which is our salvation. And when we treasure closeness with God above all other things, when we desire and value this most, the services of the church are no longer a chore or an obligation, but a joy. A joy at time spent in prayer and the worship of God. And fasting is not about what foods we're not allowed to eat, but rather the spiritual benefits that God gives to us through our fasting. The hymns call us to do battle against our sins. They tell us to put on the armor of the cross, to have the faith as our rampart, prayer our breastplate, and our helmet is almsgiving. And we sing, using the sword of fasting, let us cut away all evil from our heart. And so, in faithfully struggling against sin in this Lenten season and beyond, we unite ourselves to that glorious redemption of Adam in Christ. This redemption of Adam in Christ, who became man and was crucified and risen, that we might be reunited to him and to return to that paradise which we had fallen. God be with us in this Lenten season. Amen.